Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Oops. Your culture show.
And I try so hard to work at that.
Not that well.
All the time.
Every time we've done this, your culture's been showing.
You know what? I think it's probably going to always be showing because you can't help it.
I'm Tom Peterson, and our producer Torn's here. Are you here, Torn?
I am here.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah. Sorry. Did I wake you up? I don't want to.
We'll just ring a bell next time.
Yeah, really. Thanks for being with us. Jeez. Okay. Well, again, yes, this is Oops, Your Culture Showing. And we are happy to have you along with us once again. Hopefully you've been following us for a bit now. And Dean Foster, who is my co-host in this craziness and a specialist and an expert. Can we give you the expert label?
Oh, I'll take it.
Okay, good. I'm giving it to you. Because otherwise, who's going to listen?
Who's going
to
give it to
Who
me?
Who cares?
You can't give
right?
it to me.
I got to give it to you.
My publisher said, okay, now you've published 5 books. You're an expert.
You're an expert. Good enough. I'd say after the first one, you're right
okay.
up there.
Okay.
I'll give you that. Sure. And you got nothing else going for you. So we might as well go with that.
Let's.
Okay. The last time we talked at you guys, we put out a thought out there about elevators. Why elevators? Well, what we put out there was that all over the world, but certainly in the United States, there's a certain kind of quirkiness to and it is cultural in the way people behave generally.
Well, let's put this in context. I don't mean to interrupt. Oh,
no,
but
you
don't you hate
did mean to interrupt. In
of
fact,
course,
you
I
did interrupt.
Don't you hate people who do that?
They say, yes, and right now, well, I don't say I hate you right now.
No,
but,
I hate it.
But
people say
I could push you down an escalator, but hopefully people understand that because they've been listening
and
to
that's
the show
what
also.
That's what I was meaning to interrupt about. Oh. But I want to talk about interrupting for a second.
Okay.
When people say, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, that is precisely what they mean to do.
And they're doing it.
And they're telling you that.
In that act, they're doing it. Yeah, last podcast, we were talking about escalators.
And yes. The fact that I fell down an escalator.
You did,
and
which I find wonderful, but go ahead.
And I wanted you to have the same experience.
You did.
Just
which I don't find as wonderful.
Right what there. The point that I was making at the time,
uh-huh.
which I don't remember now.
I don't remember either.
But
it was fascinating
it
in
was
the moment.
It was a fabulous. It was one of those examples of trying to remember something that
right.
you can't
no
remember.
Idea. No. Okay.
Where were we?
Well, that's all, folks. We are...
that took us to elevators.
Elevators, yes.
And
escalators,
the cultural
elevators.
Issue...
And you were going to... Oh, the interruption thing you already did. Never mind. Go ahead. Escalators to elevators.
Well, you're interrupting me again.
Well, that's my job.
Is there a word... I would like to ask the listeners, if anyone knows, if there is a word, and if there isn't, there should be, I think.
Okay.
Of the that describes the phenomenon of when an individual... in a group of people is trying to remember a word or a thought
mm-hmm.
and can't remember the actual word
mm-hmm.
and asks the other people in the group, what's the word for, when something like this happens, da, 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 da. And by asking the question to others, because I forgot, nobody remembers.
Oh, nobody. I thought you were going to say then you remember because you asked them.
Well, that's one possible.
That's another word. You're looking for the word that you say it. No one can think of it.
There is a phenomenon of social interaction
that's
where
a good
when
question.
One person forgets.
I don't remember
you
what we were
are
talking
first
about.
Making everyone else forget in raising the issue of trying to remember.
Because then they're all so focused on it, no one can actually remember it.
And in a way, this is an example of the power of culture.
Is
the
it?
The power of social...
It better be, because that's why we're here.
Social interactions.
Okay.
You know? So what happens that all of a sudden everyone forgets the same word at the same time? I've seen this phenomenon happen.
Yes.
It's happened to me.
They actually know. That's your point. It's they actually know.
Yes.
And yet it's just not there, but you know what they're looking for. And none of the people who are involved can come up with it in that moment.
But we were talking about elevators and escalators.
Oh, were we? And we really weren't. Because you went off on some tangent about God knows what. I can't remember.
Did I?
So
you could never expect me to do that. So the cultural issue of the escalator was that people smiled and laughed as they helped me after I tripped off the escalator.
Right. I would have done that had I been there.
But that would have been an individual reaction and not a cultural reaction.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you raised the question, which we then posed to the listeners at the end of the last podcast, about are there cultural aspects to elevators?
Right.
And you were asking, actually, if anybody knew of any that were
specific to the U.S.
Specific to the U.S.
Well, right. At least generally consistent in the U.S. And it could be in other areas, too, but the U.S. certainly does it.
And I received an email from an individual in, I think it was Boise, Idaho, who asked, didn't give us an answer.
No.
But asked for clarification. Came to the wrong people for a clarification.
Attention, clarification. Sure. Yes. No, yeah. I can clarify this.
They wanted to know if was this with the doors open or closed?
The doors are closed. The doors are closed in the U.S.
I'm going to guess.
Okay. We have not discussed this.
Well,
outside of the podcast.
No, we have not.
Okay.
We have not.
You can trust us. We never lie.
But I think the point that you're trying to make...
You're not supposed to laugh at that, Torn.
Never intentionally.
No, we can be wrong, but we never lie.
I think the cultural point you're trying to make here is that individuals in an enclosed space like an elevator in the U.S. will always seek to stand as far away from other individuals as possible. While in many other cultures, mm-hmm. in a similar situation, in an elevator or maybe on a bus,
right,
a crowded vehicle,
a subway, something along those lines,
individuals mm-hmm. might choose to sit as close to other individuals mm-hmm. as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was on a bus once in Cairo,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was very much struck by the phenomenon of getting on that bus and noticing that there was a lot of space. It was not a crowded bus, mm-hmm. a rare thing in Cairo, right?
Right.
It must
right.
have been the hour of the day or whatever, or the route I was taking.
Right.
I was probably going to some place that nobody ever goes to except American tourists. So it wasn't very crowded. Anyway, I'm on the bus and there's two or three other people there. And there, as a few other people came onto the bus, the people who came onto the bus sat next to the few people who were already on the bus. And right away, when I come on the bus, I look for the seat as far away from people.
With plenty of room.
With plenty of room.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that was the issue that you were raising about the elevator.
Well, that has a distinct influence on the entire thing. Yes, absolutely. It is the cultural aspect that creates it is the idea of individual space, personal space. And that in the U.S., we have in the worldview, we have a very large demand for personal space. We have a large country, and
it's
have
a continental-sized nation. There's space
yes.
and vastness, which
yes.
is why we build buildings that are horizontal instead of vertical, unless
right.
you're on a small island like Manhattan.
Like Manhattan.
Manhattan
and places like that.
Right.
But you go to Los Angeles,
yeah,
and Los Angeles doesn't
out.
Have the restrictions, so it spreads itself out.
It's why men sit on subways and the man spread, you know?
Right.
It has its effect in so many different areas.
Yes.
But the point is...
I've already got a picture in my head now that I don't need to have after that. But
well, it's this, you know,
and they
got
should
a lot
sit
of
away from other people if they're doing that.
You got a lot of space, so
yeah.
you can just use it up.
That's very
right?
true.
I've
and people
it.
Will move in a space when there isn't enough room initially, but then it opens up. You will see in the U.S., you will see people spread out.
Okay,
you'll
so
see them
I'm from New York City, so it's a little bit more vertical than horizontal, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But the rest of the country is not necessarily like
right,
that.
Right.
And I remember one time I checked into a hotel in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this is Texas, you know, where everything's the iconic myth. It's large and it's big and it's
right.
spread out. But it's true. I mean, I checked into this hotel room in Dallas. it was so vast. This room was so vast. And this was not an expensive or a strange hotel room. This was just an average hotel room for a business meeting mm-hmm. that I went to there for. The beds on one side, by the time you got from the bed to the bathroom, you crossed the time zone.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I had to figure out how much time it was going to take me to get to the door in order to plan my day.
Yeah.
That's how big.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was.
It's, you know, and that's the whole thing. Even within the United States, you've got these areas that are far less populated than other areas. And in those areas, you're going to get a fluctuation of personal space because of that. People, if you're growing up and you're used to having that kind of expanse at your leisure that you can use, then the concept of being in tight quarters with people is going to seem probably uncomfortable.
But here's the thing. Then you could also try to make the argument that if you're in all of these tight quarters all the time, and suddenly you're in a situation where you did have all this space, wouldn't you seek that as a luxury? Wouldn't you then take it? But here are these people in Cairo
right.
getting on a bus, and there was space, or walking into an elevator. And there is space. There's only one other person in that elevator. In cultures where interpersonal space is not the issue becomes more of, I depend on personal relationships mm-hmm. with people.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to stand next to the person who's in there. I want to sit next to the person on the bus. And it's not about the availability of the luxury of space, but rather it's about, that's going to just feel all lonely and far away.
Right.
And I don't want to feel that way.
Right. Being around people.
Right.
And because there's, and I think as you were describing it, I was thinking, well, but I'm more comfortable this way, whichever way it is, I'm more comfortable that way. But it's going, you think about those things are going to change the way you think.
So in the elevator,
in
what
the
you're
elevator.
Saying then yes. is the U.S. phenomenon of walking into the elevator and taking the spot that's furthest away from anybody else.
Well, they'll take
there.
The spot that's furthest away, but even if it's full, people in the U.S. tend to get onto an elevator, and let's say not if just you and I got into an elevator.
Now, then, if you then, and I got into an elevator, the whole other thing.
Just, well, well, it is for a lot of
you
reasons.
You got to take out insurance first. They make a sign.
And I would definitely move as far away from you as I possibly could.
They make a sign NDAs but, and everything before they get us.
yeah, if you get on and it's basically a full elevator and you get on, here's what tends to happen. People in the U.S. get onto the elevator, they turn, they face back toward the doors, and they stand there quietly, silently, and stare at, let's say, the numbers going.
Or if it's really crowded, you stare at your toes.
You stare at your
toes.
Or
at the numbers.
And so on. Yes.
The floors as they...
And that is a predominantly what happens in this country, almost regardless of where you get onto an elevator. Now, technology has altered that a little bit, only in the sense that some people get on talking on their phones and continue to talk. But if you look around that elevator, most people will be annoyed by the person who's talking on their phone while they're on the elevator. But you see, when you're, again, we're getting to the comfort factor, right? These people now are standing on an elevator. They get on there. And I'm saying if there's like one other person on the elevator, there's a good chance that the people are going to get on the elevator, turn and look at the numbers go by. Or in some of the elevators now, they've started putting up little screens.
Oh,
where
you can get
see
all sorts of news and
news or weather.
You can buy
like
real
that.
Estate.
Right.
You know, in a building that's...
You can find somebody to date, I believe.
Yes.
It's, you know, there's all sorts of cool things
it's
to try and put in there.
It's a touch screen. Now
but
some of them have touch screens.
Well, geez, I don't know. Touching on the elevator is not going to work.
Touch the screen.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. If you're on that elevator and the reason that works in the U.S. especially is because they know all these people, they're not talking and they're all staring at the doors, like waiting for the doors. They're like, they're puzzled as to when the doors will open again and let them out. Let's take a break. Okay, listen, the way to get hold of us is oopsculture@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is Oops Culture Show. Whether this is the first episode or the third episode or whatever episode that you've listened to, if you're still listening at this point, I think you might like this. And if you do, you should really subscribe. Because if you subscribe, these things will just show up for you, and you can listen to them whenever you want to. That's the best way to go, really, honestly.
I know what I'm talking about.
All right, so just subscribe through iTunes or through wherever you get your podcasts from. But do it today, okay? Subscribe. Thank you.
So here's the thing to do. You stand in the elevator and you start to sing in a crowded elevator.
Okay.
Just start to sing. Hum a song.
Yes.
And if you want some space.
Well, I think that probably would do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you could turn to the person
yourself,
next
they're going to think you're on the phone.
You can do what I do when I'm on an airplane, a crowded plane, and the person next to me is a talker. By the way, I'm not a talker on a plane. I'm on planes so much.
You don't talk.
No.
Okay. Make a note of that, everyone. Make a note. Really? He does not talk. Okay. Because that's important.
So if you open the book, you put on dark glasses, you put your headset on, and the person next to you is still talking, then you cough.
Oh.
Then you start to cough and you turn to that person and you say, I'm really sorry. It's the tuberculosis.
Oh,
And not only will they not talk to you.
You went there, didn't you? You went there.
But the flight attendant will miraculously appear in a few minutes and find a seat for that person.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Or maybe remove you from the plane. You will be a video on YouTube before long.
I have never been removed for that.
Well, surprising. I'm surprised. Remind me the next time we fly together, I'll have you removed.
Maybe it's because I say it's waning.
Okay, and hopefully they know what that means. Anyway, yes, well, I will tell you this. When I was considerably younger and working in New York with a friend of mine...
You couldn't have been significantly younger.
It's all relative, you know, although it was not a relative that I was working in New York with. and when we were traveling in the buildings can be in New York, if you're not familiar with New York City, the buildings can be extremely tall. So you can get onto an elevator that's going to go 70 floors.
Oh, you've got to adjust your ear pressure.
You do. And some of them move quite rapidly. But the point
I think on every elevator in those big buildings.
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting.
No, you're not.
I don't mean to interrupt.
You did it. You meant to do it. And I understand that.
By floor 45.
Yes.
It should automatically stop. And
by 445, is that the time?
No.
Oh.
The floor.
Oh.
The 45th floor.
Oh, 445. Okay.
There should be an automatic dispenser in the elevator.
They pop
that
out like the masks
out,
on the airplane. Gives
everybody chewing gum.
Lose pressure or something.
Everybody gets chewing gum.
They all get chewing gum. Yes. Does it shoot out and into your
just
mouth?
It shoots out into the elevator. Because without it, your ears explode by the time you go.
I think there's so many things wrong with that. I can't see any lawsuits at all from that.
Like what?
Do we get a warning? Does it like a little thing from
the
like,
45th floor?
It
lights up in red, and after a while, everybody will know that 45 means.
After a while, it says means first few times.
Means you get the,
when you blinded people, usually children, because they're at that height. Please put on your goggles. Please open your mouth. Those without who do not want chewing gum, please keep your mouth closed and be prepared to be hit in the face. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a perfect idea.
Well, also, but if it's a big building,
yes,
by the time you get to the 80th floor, there's going to be chewing gum on the ground.
All over the place.
On the floor.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I think that's...
I don't know what cultural...
How have
question
they not
that
done
answers,
that?
But
well, oh it, no, but it asks a whole lot of questions about you, that may or may not need to be answered.
I'm always looking out for the other people in the elevator car that I'm sharing.
It's noble, truly noble.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, listen, I thought you were going to go to having like the masks that fall down in the airplane when you lose pressure. You would have like little almost earbuds fall out of the ceiling for people to put into their ears to balance the pressure. That's where I thought you were going with it.
As opposed to chewing gum?
Yeah, as opposed to the chewing gum thing.
Well, I mean, the chewing gum is cheaper.
And you'll lose fewer eyes with the earbuds falling out of the ceiling. But And then they could just suck themselves back up. And I'm sure no one would mind sticking earbuds in that everybody else has used during the day.
That's why the chewing gum is better, because you're always getting a fresh.
Do we know that for sure, though?
You're never getting a pre-used piece of chewing gum, like an earbud. The chewing gum's
No. Okay. Well, I like my earbud idea, but there must be a way to sanitize. We'll work it out. I'll get funding for that sucker.
The devil's in the details.
It is. It's just there's small little details there. But I do like the fact that it happens as you're going up and there. Anyway, what my friend and I used to do was we'd get onto the elevator, and as the elevator took off and we're heading, and you glance over and you see the next stop is like the 40th floor. That's the next one that's been, you were in the lobby. So you got a little bit of a trip here. And as you're rising up there, one of us would turn to the other and say, "So did the doctor say how contagious it was?" And typically we would get more room in the elevator.
Somehow they find more room.
Yeah. It seems to have overridden the cultural bias that was taking place right there. Yeah. Or maybe that is a cultural thing right there, a fear of becoming extremely ill. And it is a cultural thing.
And the cultural piece to that is personal space.
Absolutely. And we feel uncomfortable in that environment.
And I think we trust more in the individual ourselves. I don't need to share it with someone else. And I'm not necessarily interested if somebody shares theirs with me.
And I don't want to overhear, and I don't want people to overhear what I'm saying either, generally. Yeah. Generally, I don't want that to happen, because people will get on, stop conversations, stand, and we get the ding, ding.
And you got to wonder, what is it that they don't want me to hear?
Well, you do, because it's weird. But and they'll do that, though. And then when the doors open and they go off, they'll pick it up and just start talking in the conversation again.
So that's when you should follow them, because if you really want to know what it was.
Stay right behind them, same distance as you were on the elevator. I'm sure that won't bother them at all. By the way, if you're not from the culture of the U.S., you do not want to do that, okay?
Well, that whole issue of personal space that you're raising is a very cultural issue, you know. In cultures where you're comfortable, for whatever reason, maybe because it's simply so crowded, you have to get used to, even though there's something you might not like,
right.
You're that way anyway. Mm-hmm. You're just used to being that close to people. I mean, I remember one time I was in Hong Kong with my wife and my daughter, mm-hmm. and we were at a little food court. Mm-hmm. And now Hong Kong is if not the most densely populated place, square mile for square mile, maybe. If it's got to be up there, like the top three.
Okay, Torin, can you check that out?
If Hong it isn't Kong the density, most, the
population
most.
Density, is it the most, or is it close to the most?
So we went into this.
Sure.
Thank you, Torin. Thank you. And if it's not, if I'm wrong, I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, make it up.
So, yeah.
So, okay.
So we go into this food court, and we sit down, and it's lunchtime.
Okay. Right? That's a good reason to go into the food court.
We're finally there. We sit down. Uh-huh. And as soon as we sat down, we find a seat, which mm-hmm. is lucky and fortunate. There were several people mm-hmm. standing right over us where we were eating.
Okay.
Now, this is unusual in the U.S. experience.
Yes.
People don't do that.
If
you're waiting for a table, you wait at another area.
So they were standing
right
around your table.
I mean, literally by our shoulders.
Yes.
Watching us eat.
Mm-hmm.
Because waiting for us to finish, and then when we were finished, they were going to then take that space.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right? And I understood what was going on, and I explained it to my daughter. But afterwards, you know, clearly a metaphor for the intercultural experience, she said, "Daddy, I understand what you were saying, and I understand things can be different here." She said, mm-hmm. "But I didn't like it."
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It was uncomfortable. She wasn't used to it.
And thus the reason you need to be prepared for things like that.
She needed the personal space that she was more accustomed to.
The comfort area is so important to all of this, much more so than people realize, but on both sides. Because you don't want to do things that make other people feel uncomfortable
get
in their culture.
Right, because then people who are comfortable in those circumstances, placed in a situation, let's say in the United States, where there is vast space,
yes.
can become almost agoraphobic. I mean, there's too much space.
Sure.
I don't know what to do. There are stories of people who come into U.S. supermarkets, for example,
mm-hmm.
and kind of wander the aisles almost in a state of shock.
Yes.
Because they're so vast.
Yes.
The selections are so massive. And yet they still can't find the food that they like.
Right, right.
Right. And, yeah. and there is just too much.
Too much. Too many choices.
There's too much space, too many choices.
Sure.
Just too much. So you can be overwhelmed by a little bit of space. You can be overwhelmed by a lot of space.
Yes. It's going to impact you one way or the other. And especially when you're on the extremes. And I think that's probably, this is probably just a general statement about cultures, right? Is that when you're in the extremes of those kinds of things.
When the extremes meet.
Bang.
Yes. Then it's intense.
Yes. So, okay, good. Now, can we say that people riding in elevators and cultures where they feel close to each other, they would perhaps just continue conversations and you get a louder, much louder elevator?
Well, oftentimes that is the case.
Okay.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, for sure.
Now, I will say also, you're looking at that, you've got New York City is different.
I mean, I do want to... I don't mean to interrupt, but I have to interrupt.
You keep saying that, and I keep getting interrupted is pretty much the bottom line.
I just
line
want to throw
here
out the caveat, an asterisk.
Oh, do you? Well, you can pick up your caveat if you throw it.
An
okay?
asterisk, a caveat,
uh-huh,
a disclaimer.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
Yeah, you know, it's all the same.
It's all the same, is it?
So I would say this sounds like a good time for a break. We'll be right back. Got any questions for us? Well, if you do, there's a couple of ways to get hold of us. First of all, on email, our email address is oopscultureshow@gmail.com. And our handle on Twitter is oopscultureshow. Pretty clever, huh? So talk to us.
Of course, you know, if people walk on an elevator in those kinds of cultures and they do need to have a confidential conversation.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, they're going to stop talking.
Well, right? Okay, sure.
I mean,
something they don't want other people
yes,
over here.
I want to make a point that these general statements of culture that we're making are under general circumstances,
right,
not under specific circumstances like a confidential
right
conversation.
And individuals will vary in
more
within
or
all
less.
Right. Right. Okay.
Right. Okay, now you can pick up where I interrupted you.
I have no idea where I was. Now, see, this is where we get to the point. Do you have any idea where I was?
And it doesn't matter, though. I'll keep talking.
Oh, well, I know you will, and that's disturbing.
Well, a friend of mine, for example, in Buenos Aires, he's a U.S. American. He says, yeah, I've gotten to the point where when he goes down to visit his Argentine friend who lives in one of these lovely apartments on the main, one of the main grand boulevards, uh-huh, in Buenos Aires. So there's a terrace. And he says, every time I visit my Argentine friend, I have to remember not to step back. Mm-hmm. When my friend comes in, mm-hmm, to talk to me.
Sure.
Because in Argentina, the personal space, and in many Latin cultures, personal space is less than in North American and Northern European space.
Yeah.
So he talks close, mm-hmm, right? A close talker, right?
Right.
And on a balcony, the U.S. American steps back. He comes in. He steps back.
Yeah, there's limitations
well,
to how far you want to
step back. The last time
back
he went down there to visit, his friend put up a railing on the balcony because he was afraid so many North
He'd
Americans
drive him off the wall,
literally into the boulevard five floors below.
That wouldn't be good. No, that's a painful experience.
Yeah,
at that
don't step back.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So personal space is less in places like in the Latin world, in the Middle East, in many parts of Asia.
Sure.
You're standing on a line in China and people are up against your back. I mean, physically, they're up against your back. I can't tell you how many U.S. Americans just like can't deal with that.
Can't deal with it. And except
the physical touching.
Right.
Right.
Well, right. Yes.
But if it's not your experience,
it's strange.
It can be uncomfortable.
And uncomfortable.
Right.
And people who do this on a regular basis, there's a comfort zone.
Well, see, now you raise an issue of the line or the queue, as we say in Britain, mm-hmm, right?
And much of the world who speaks
yes,
English,
British English, as opposed to the strange yes American English that we speak in the U.S.
Right.
So the queue, from a cultural perspective, again, related to this idea of personal space.
Yeah.
In China, for example, you're walking down a crowded street, you may get poked in the ribs. Somebody's kind of like almost physically pushing you aside.
Mm, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And the Westerner says, oh, you know, that's rude. I mean, that's pushing me. physically. Old Chinese ladies with their very sharp elbows. They're kind of like a, and that's an iconic myth in China, but it's real because that's what happens.
They're valuable tools for them.
And then, and then you have the opposite situation in London.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you queue up, and if anybody dares touch anybody else, that's very, very offensive, you know. And you got to understand where these two different perspectives are coming from. Because of the Chinese cultural issue of groups, if I'm a member of a group and you're a member of that same group, then I am, in fact, extremely polite.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never thrust my elbow into your ribs to get you out of the way.
Okay.
Because we have a relationship with each other. But in the absence of that, if you're just an anonymous number on the street,
yes,
with you and another million Chinese people walking down the boulevard, then it's because we don't have a relationship, it empowers either one of us to do anything to the other one.
Okay.
Because it's not rude. I don't know you.
Yeah, sure.
Rudeness is only based on the fact that I have a relationship with you.
Right.
Right? Okay. We have the opposite situation in London where because I don't know you, I have to be polite.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And once we know each other, then we can be as rude as we need to know each other.
That explains a lot of my experiences in England or with the British people. Sure. Now, an interesting aspect of that, too, is you really look at the, or at least I'm claiming it's interesting.
By the way, it's not that I can be as rude as possible now that I know you. It's simply that I can be as honest with you as possible.
Sure.
Now that I know
you. Which will probably turn out to be somewhat.
It might.
You didn't know the people, well, it's like you and I.
But I can't imagine you ever doing anything that would make anyone, British or otherwise, feel like they need to be rude with you. You're one of the most polite people I know.
Oh my God. This has got to be leading to something where I have to pay something.
Just be ready.
Because, okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Because I know that's not true. I am that person, and that's true. And yeah, okay. So here's a little quick question here about because we were talking about, you know, the U.S. is continental in size, and yeah, it's stuck between two oceans and two other countries, and that's it. So it has this, and it has this huge expanse. So the personal space thing can obviously be larger, and there are exceptions like New York City,
major
Chicago,
urban centers.
Like that.
Yeah.
However, when you talk about China, now in China, China is a huge country, and it certainly is. It's bigger than the United States, so you've got this huge country now, and you've got a lot of people living in it.
Geographically, almost the same.
About the same. Okay, yeah. But you've got a lot more people there. Am I correct with that?
Yes, that's what makes the difference.
And therefore,
I mean, the entire population of the United States is equivalent to the statistical deviation that's used to calculate the population of China.
Wow. I have no idea what you just said.
The entire population of the United States.
You're a deviation, by the way. And I can say that because I've known you for a while. We've got to know each other.
A statistical deviation.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, there's no doubt
about it. A metaphorical deviation.
Pretty much any deviation.
A metaphysical deviation.
okay. That explains much.
Now, the population of China is so much faster, so much more than the United States. And therefore, you've got 15 cities that most Americans don't even know the names for that have populations of over 15 million people each.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite a few. Yeah.
And it's still considered a rural country.
Right.
Because
right.
the majority of the population is still living out in the countryside.
Sure. Wow.
And we want to have a trade war with these people.
Yeah, let's think about that one. So you've got that. And then you start talking, and rightfully so, about the Brits, the British Isles, and where that is an island. And although it's not a tiny island, it's still an island. It's restricted. You've got a couple of countries on that island. But I'm guessing that the idea that the population is much less there, it allows for this a little bit more room there. So, but their personal space isn't anywhere near what our personal
space
is.
But that's, you know, again, that's different in London, right?
Yeah.
So London's
a
very crowded
international
city, and personal space is
at, and I'm sure it is in a couple of other cities there too. But it, generally speaking, they're going to, and they have a little less personal space than we do. On the norm, am I correct with
for
that?
For the most, yes, I would say the norm is that it, there's less personal space.
They
it's
would be
not a continental
let's say
nation.
Between us and China or other nations like that,
right.
India,
right.
where there's large population in their space. Okay, so you've got that, but their reactions are a little different. Now we're also talking about very old cultures. Very old, and both in,
well, you got
England
very very
and in
very
China.
Old in China,
yes.
and you got very old in Britain, and then
yes.
you got. Not so old.
And then the kids that did showed up last week.
The kids who showed up last week, yeah. on the other side of the pond.
Right.
Right.
Right. Who, although it does seem like we're aging rapidly these days, but that's another
whether
story.
We're maturing is another question.
I'm willing to bet money on that one. That's not happening. But okay. So, but nevertheless, it's not necessarily totally exclusive in these things to each one of those places, but it's certainly dictated by what their experiences are with the numbers of people and so forth, right?
Yeah, I mean, it has an effect in lots of different areas.
Okay.
Right, for
okay.
sure.
And, all right. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, you know what today is?
No, I don't know what today is.
This is an interesting thing.
Oh, okay. Hang on. We're going to vote on that after you're done. Go.
Right. Every day.
By the way, you can contact when Dean says, now this is interesting. Or for that matter, okay, if I say it, you can go on Twitter, you can go on Instagram, you can go on our...
Let us know on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah. Is
from,
it really
from a frowny face to a happy face?
One being very interesting, or you want to go the other direction?
No, well, this is a cultural thing.
Oh,
I mean,
geez, here we go. I knew it.
Does
as
number
soon as
one
I
represent...
It, you know, I could just see it go out of my mouth. And him jump all over.
Is number one like the best, or is number 10 the best?
Yes.
And is it
well,
because...
are we asking Bo Derek? There's an old reference. Not that she's old.
Not
but...
that she's old. And who cares even if she
if you
is.
See the movie, you don't care. You don't care at all. No.
Because we write, or we do anyway,
yes.
write...
Well, speak for yourself.
From
go ahead.
Left to right.
Uh-huh.
So the assumption
uh-huh.
is that the 10 is the best because we're writing in that direction.
It's building.
Right? One is to the left.
Uh-huh.
10 is to the right.
Ah, I see.
Okay. But in cultures where we write from right to left,
uh-huh.
then if you start with one on the right, then the best is on the left.
Okay. For just so a moment there, I thought you had no idea where you were. You had no idea what you were going to say. You were completely lost in that thought. Is that true?
Do I occasionally give that impression?
No, more often than occasionally, actually.
And I thought you knew me better than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
So which end of...
I didn't mean to interrupt. It's probably time to take one last break. While listening to this, you may think, hey, you know, I wonder, well, if you have a question like that you want to ask us, there's a couple of ways you can do it. One would be through email, which is oopsculturshow@gmail.com. That's oopsculturshow@gmail.com. And then there's also our handle on Twitter, which is oopsculturshow. That's oopsculturshow. I know, it's not original, but it works. Okay.
So on which end of the spectrum, on our spectrum, is our frowny face and
well,
our
I
happy
guess
face?
If you're giving it to us that way, and we're talking to probably the people that we're talking to, we probably should go 10 being the smiley face.
See? Because it's on the right.
That's because, well, yes, and because you just described it this way. But one will be our frowny
let's
face.
Let's put on an Arab head.
Do we have to have... Excuse me? How are we doing that? That doesn't sound legal in
we
most...
We can put the frowny... So there was
gotta
this
be a blue law.
Here's the culture. There was a there was a pharmaceutical company that had an ad campaign in the United States, which worked very well. There was three billboards, and on the left billboard was a frowny face.
Okay.
The middle billboard is a picture of somebody taking a pill.
Okay.
And the billboard on the right was a happy face. Mm. See, the 10 is on the right.
Sounds like the United States.
And the message, of course, is, you know, take our pharmaceutical and you'll
take the pill, happy.
You'll happy face. Yeah. Right.
That's perfectly true. There's nothing they wrong. Ran the driving same, the other direction.
They ran the same campaign in the Middle East and they lost millions of dollars.
Yes.
Because we're reading from right to left. And nobody at the ad agency knew that.
I'm sorry, but oops, your culture's showing. Yes.
And you just cost your company and your client a gazillion dollars.
That's right. Probably should have taken, maybe a day and had a training session on that.
Yeah.
Probably would have a smart idea right there. Sure. That's pretty good. I like that. I just was thinking, what if I'm driving the other direction and I look at the things, then it could screw
me. Oh, if you're looking at it through the rear view mirror?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's not good. It's a downer then, right?
You shouldn't be reading through the rear view mirror.
And they appear closer than they are or larger than they are or something like that.
That's the side view mirror.
No, that's the side view. I don't read out of my side view mirror.
There's a rear view mirror on a car. There's a side view mirror.
Yes.
Is there a front view mirror?
No, because you're looking that way. Remind me not to ride with you ever again, okay?
I was just taking it to the logical place.
Yes, it makes perfect sense. It makes no sense, but it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Well, that's like, see, there should be a camera out the front. There's a camera now in a lot of cars in the rear, right, that you can see to help you park.
I've always thought cameras should be in the rear.
And so on. Well, that's another podcast, I think. Not even our podcast, that one. well, I do have a... No, never mind.
So we were talking about where the frowny face
No, I was talking about
face.
Cameras in the rear, okay. And you went to a dark place.
You just...
never mind. okay.
I went to a dark place.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway, I just thought maybe there should be a little camera in the front that kind of looks down so you can see when you pull into a parking space. Doesn't that make sense? Because you can't see in the front there. Does this have anything to do with what we're talking about?
No, but that's an interesting idea, and I don't want to drop it for... I'll go back to what we were talking about in a second.
Yeah, because, you know, you asked about the mirror in the front. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. But the little camera there looking down, like, you know, you drive in, and there might be a thing to bump into that stops you from driving
But if
through.
You're driving into the parking space, you can see what's there.
Not once you get to a certain point. You can't see where the end of the parking space is, because the front of your car blocks it.
No, you can see it as you approach
no.
it.
No. No. What? No. Oh, okay.
I have this idea.
You don't look far enough ahead.
But, no, I do.
No,
I,
and I'm saying this for your benefit.
Oh, thank God for you.
That wasn't officious or anything.
No, no, not at all. When. Can you get the concept that when you drive in, that's rhetorical, I think.
When you drive in at a certain point, the front of the car blocks what you can see. So when you're
but
trying
before
to get
you
closer
drove
to it,
in, you could see if there was a problem.
Before I drove in, but now I'm actually executing the driving in, and in doing so, I don't need to overlap. If there's nothing there to stop me, like a curb or a part-time curb that sort of they put out there that you can bump into.
I'm going to stop you.
You're stopping me.
I'm stopping you right now.
I knew it would come to this. Thank you, by the way. That might be a good thing.
I think it's a wonderful thing to have a camera there, and I think you should
advance this, right?
And let's ask our listeners.
And by the way, that's patent pending right there. Okay.
Patent pending, wasn't that an old vaudeville group?
Patent pending. They were brilliant. One of them threw axes at the other one while that one was juggling flaming torches.
And they prevented anybody else from copying their act.
Completely.
Nobody else could do it.
No one wanted to. So after that, everybody just went, hey, patent pending. And everybody knew what they were talking about. That's right. That's exactly where that came from.
Let's
don't even look that up, people. That is perfect.
That is the truth.
Yes.
Once again. So let's ask our listeners. Let us know if you think the cameras in the front.
The camera in the front would be a useful thing.
And then we'll know if Tom's idea is valid.
I mean, we're only talking about it shining, looking almost straight down.
It's a camera looking straight down.
Yeah. It's like, I have a car where I can change the look of my rear view camera, and it will look, at a certain point, it will look straight down at the bumper.
And share with us also if you think there's any benefit to having a front view mirror in your car as well. Because I think Detroit missed out on this.
Well,
you know,
probably.
They put in rear views and side views and bottom views and top views.
Instead, they put the piece of glass and it seemed to work better if it didn't have anything blocking it.
Back to the 1 to 10.
Are we
frowny face? We're agreed is on 1.
Is 1.
And happy face is
so
on
complex.
10.
I think you need advanced degrees to understand this.
So now, working backwards.
All we want to know.
Working backwards is, why are we asking? What are we asking?
I have no idea. I'm completely lost.
No, you're voting on a frowny face.
I really
or...
have no idea. Well, anyway, tell us whether you want a 1 up to 10, or down to 10.
Just tell us whether you want anything between 1 and 10 for any reason at all.
Or if you've ever had a frowny face, I guess. And by the way, there's a pill for that. So, oh, good
so
gracious.
So I was saying.
Yes.
Earlier.
Well, it's about time.
I hope that by the end of this, we will remember. See, here we are trying to remember. And the reason
and there's no word for it. Remember that?
Yeah, and the reason you couldn't remember why we had 1 to 10 frowny happy face was this, because I couldn't remember too. And that was an example of the phenomenon that I was talking
just
about.
Just like the thing on the elevator, the infection. Yes. Well, it's...
And let's ask the listeners if they know the name for this phenomenon.
Right.
It's kind of like it falls into the category of déjà vu, I think. You know, these strange psychic or psychological phenomenon
that are there that both get in the way, but also could be benefiting us. Torin, did we send you on any chases that we didn't get responses from?
Yes. You asked about if Hong Kong is the, I think, Dean, you thought it was third highest in population density?
No, actually,
right?
I thought that Hong Kong, and still do, despite what you might say, is the has the highest density population, highest population density in the world.
Ah, okay. Well, you said you didn't want to hear from me if that was wrong, so I have nothing to say.
Well... There may be more density in this room than well,
all
no, I'm
right.
curious.
What did you find out? We're just so curious. You can tell me.
From what I'm seeing, it's in fourth place behind Singapore, Monaco, and I'm probably saying this wrong, Macau in China?
Macau is a bird.
Macau is number one.
Macau is number one.
Really?
And
Monaco
casinos.
Is second?
Look,
Monaco is second.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting. Then Las Vegas should be third, because all three are gambling centers.
Yeah,
Macau is an international gambling center, as is what was the other one you mentioned?
Monaco. Yes,
of course.
Of course.
So where's Vegas and Singapore?
And then Singapore.
Good
That's
question.
Now in Singapore, you could never have those elevators that would shoot you chewing gum.
No.
That's going to be, it's illegal.
Okay, why is it illegal to have an elevator that shoots? I can't believe I'm asking this. I cannot believe it's come to this.
Because it's illegal to chew gum in Singapore in public.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if they define an elevator as in public or
that
not.
That would be an interesting thing to find out. But if you're, I don't really think so, but go ahead.
You know, if you're outside walking the sidewalk in Singapore and you chew gum, it's an offense.
Now, do we know why?
Yes, because inevitably a substantial percentage of those people who do that will
And it creates a problem.
It creates a sanitary and also...
Which it does in the United States as well.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yes.
And so they made it illegal. Okay. That doesn't mean it's illegal to chew gum in your house.
Right.
But the point is nobody... Now, I don't know this for a fact, so we could maybe look this up, but I would suspect that a lot of chewing gum manufacturers don't view Singapore as a major market. And therefore, I think it's probably hard to get.
I see.
But if you were to chew it on private property, like in an elevator, maybe that would be allowed. So maybe they can. Maybe we can, after all, dispense chewing gum
in Singapore
on the 45th floor.
In Singapore. All right.
Maybe it wouldn't be illegal, but you wouldn't want to do it on the 44th floor.
No,
because that's bad luck. Because the number 4 in Chinese is bad luck.
Okay.
So the 44th floor would. They might not even have a 44th floor in Singapore.
Uh-huh.
And if they did, you don't want the gum to go out there.
No.
Because the majority of the population...
I don't want this gum flying out anyway. I should clarify,
the majority of the population in Singapore is Singaporean Chinese.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Okay, so Torin, then your final answer to that is Macau is first, and most dense... And then comes Monaco.
Most dense. Yes.
Most dense, which is not easy to say.
Densest. Yeah.
Densest, yes. And then come...
I need to go to the dentist.
I need an appointment, actually. Yes, to visit the densest. and both those definitions. So it's Macau, Monaco, Singapore, and then...
Hong Kong.
And then Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right.
Did you happen to get any others after Hong Kong?
Gibraltar is number 5.
Okay, we're talking about density. We're not talking about total population. We're talking about density.
We're talking about density, correct?
So you could be, theoretically, you could be talking about 3 people, but it's about how close they are.
Well, number 7 is Vatican City.
Oh, see?
Which has 800
people. 800
people,
but they're all in one room.
They are. They're all waiting for the smoke to come out of the chimney.
Right. They're all standing very close to the Pope.
They're all in St. Peter's Square there. So that's pretty dense when you think about it. If you get
people are visitors. They're not nationals.
Are they? Have we checked their passports? I don't think
so. Well, I think the majority of them are not nationals of the Vatican City State.
That's a possibility.
I think they're mainly visitors.
Okay.
Well, when I've been there, nobody's a Vatican City national.
Okay. How many people have been born in Vatican City? I mean, I would think that number is not large. Well, I don't know. Yes, okay, St. Peter's Square, but in Vatican City. I mean, by the nature of the idea of why it's there, I would say it's a pretty small number.
They probably have a population problem. I mean, a generation problem. Like Japan,
they seem to be good at bringing people in from other areas.
Oh, you can come in. You could get a national.
I think
become
they
nationalized.
Have a large immigration status in Vatican City. That's the point I'm making here. Mm. I don't know that there's a native population other than the one that lived there before it was Vatican City. Thanks for backing me up on that. We're going to get out of here. Torin, thanks for your help with that. And
my pleasure.
Because that really did make a huge difference to everyone listening. I'm sure it did.
Yes, I'm sure it did too.
Yeah, really. And I look forward to doing this again. Do you?
There's so much to talk about when we talk about culture.
There really is. But,
and just remember, until next time.
Yes.
Oops. Your culture's showing.
Smell ya. Just want to bother you one last time to say we're a brand new podcast here at Oops, Your Culture's Showing, and we could really use your help by subscribing to the podcast. And not to mention that if you hung around this long and you liked what you heard,
Well, this makes it just easier for you to get the podcast. They'll pop up for you whenever they're released, so you can listen to them on your phone or your computer or however you listen to them. And it's easy to get, too. Just subscribe using iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. It really isn't hard, and we could really use your support. So, from all of us here at Oops, Your Culture's Showing, thanks.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.